All right, well, let's get into our study of Ephesians tonight. One verse tonight, but it's, again, one verse that is pregnant with a world of theological truth. And that is, every born-again Christian is God's workmanship. And we are called, after we are saved, to allow God to produce good works through us by the power of His Holy Spirit, and we should walk in those good works. Again, good works is one of those things in the history of Christianity that has been much maligned and misunderstood. Good works do not produce salvation. We are not saved. The Bible teaches us good works do not produce salvation. Good human good works. Good works do not work in tandem with faith to earn or procure salvation. So the Bible does not teach salvation by works. The Bible does not teach salvation by faith plus good works. The Bible teaches salvation is by faith alone, by God's grace alone, in Jesus Christ alone. That will result in works. Works follow salvation as proof. Salvation has occurred in the individual's life. And that's what Paul, this is the exact order Paul places works. They are post-salvation reality confirming salvation has already taken place in the person. So every genuinely saved person will provide the proof of that in good works. And notice here, Paul has salvation by grace apart from works first. We are saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is not of works, lest anyone should boast. So salvation comes first, and then the fruit of salvation, proving the presence of salvation, is good works. And that's the exact order you have here with Paul in Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. And in verses 8 and 9, you have the fact that salvation is bestowed on the believer by the unmerited grace of God, received through trust and reliance in Jesus Christ alone. And the result of that salvation issues in what? Good works. That is always the biblical order. Salvation by God's unmerited grace, revealed and received through Jesus Christ. And then the proof that that salvation has occurred that's not of works will issue in good works produced by the presence and power of God's Spirit in the life of the believer. So that's the exact order we have. And to that end, Paul will say in Ephesians 2:10, For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So borrowing some of this sentence structure from the great Dr. Harold Honer and his in-depth commentary on Ephesians, the central thought for Ephesians 2:10 is this. Born-again Christians are God's workmanship because we were created for the goal of good works in order that we might walk in them. Let me say this again. The central theme or truth here that encapsulates Ephesians 2:10 is this. Born-again Christians are God's workmanship because we were created for the goal of good works in order that we might walk in them. You and I are God's workmanship. We are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus. The believer experiences two creations, does he not? There's physical birth. That's a natural creation. Then there's spiritual rebirth. That is a spiritual birth where you are recreated and made in the image of Jesus Christ through spiritual rebirth by faith in Him. The spiritual birth is the point of Ephesians 2:10. When Paul says we're created for good works, he's not talking about natural creation. That has to occur first, granted, logically, and undeniably before one can be born again, spiritually born again from above. So the creation here for good works is pointing to being born again, spiritual rebirth. So when a man or woman believes in Jesus Christ, according to what we read here in Ephesians 2:10, God then creates him in Christ. Well, what does this mean? Well, when you and I trust in Jesus Christ for salvation, it means that God quickens or makes alive the spirit of the believer who was once dead in trespasses and sins, Ephesians 2, 1 through 2. And once God spiritually makes us alive, God then creates the spirit that was once dead by sin. He creates that spirit anew and makes it alive to God. It is a spiritual resurrection, if you will. And of course, there will be a physical resurrection and translation of all believers when the Lord Jesus returns for the church. So then, you are God's workmanship means that God causes the believer to be born again spiritually. Remember what Jesus told Nicodemus in John 3, 5 through 6. He said, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, except a man be born again." That word again is anothen in the Greek. It can mean born from above. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Physical procreation can only produce another physical being. But what I'm talking about here, Jesus says in John 3, is a spiritual rebirth. Hence, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Only the Holy Spirit can produce spiritual rebirth in the repentant believer of the gospel. So, to be God's workmanship, it means we are born again by the Holy Spirit. It also means that God actually places a new nature, a godly nature, into the heart of the believer. A new nature that is after the moral image of God. It is the law of God written in our hearts so that we're sensitive to the Spirit of God and we have a new nature that wants to obey and enjoy and worship and serve the Lord. To be God's workmanship means that God actually makes a new creation, or in the King James vernacular, a new creature of the believer. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man or any woman be in Christ, he or she is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." To be the workmanship of the Lord Jesus Christ means that God actually creates a new destiny for the believer. The old man, the unsaved man, his destiny was one of damnation, being under the wrath of God. Ephesians 2:3. But now that you and I are born again and saved, we are destined to walk in the works God has ordained us to walk in, which He produces in us by the power and presence of His Holy Spirit. For we are His workmanship. The word "for" here as a conjunction tells us why this salvation is not of human origin or by human works. Remember, Paul said, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, lest any man should boast." Now he's going to tell us the reason for that salvation, and that is to be God's workmanship by His supernatural hand. Amen. Note here, we are His. That's a possessive pronoun emphasizing that it is God's workmanship from start to finish. Did not the writer of Hebrews tell us that Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of our faith? So it is Him who makes us into His workmanship. Now that word "workmanship" is used in classical literature for the work of a craftsman, such as the making of a crown. It is found 28 times in the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament. It is also used of a person's skillful work of art, Ecclesiastes 4, 4, Isaiah 29, 16. In the New Testament, workmanship is used only here and in Romans 1, 20. In Romans 1:20, workmanship refers to God's creation of the material universe. But here in Ephesians 2:10, it is used of God's new creation by spiritual rebirth upon those who are saved. So whereas the first reference speaks in Romans 1:20, it speaks of God's, the physical handiwork of God. And here in Ephesians 2:10, it refers to the spiritual recreation of God in the individual believer's life. The word workmanship can be translated as masterpiece as well. You and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, are the masterpieces of God. His workmanship. Just as the creation of heaven and earth was accomplished by God apart from human intervention or contrivance, of course, Paul here asserts that all who are in Christ are God's supernatural creation. The term here, workmanship, is the word in Greek poema. We get the word poem from this. And it could just be easily translated to mean creation. The usage has led some translators to render workmanship to mean masterpiece, the New Living Translation. Handiwork, the New American Bible. Or work of art. It is possible that Paul chose this word to emphasize God's skillful and intelligent design, a byproduct of His saving grace. Note here the change from second person plural in verses 8 and 9 to first person plural in verse 10 is not a Jewish-Gentile difference like some commentators would have us believe. For Jews were to be saved by grace through faith, and Gentiles also are also God's workmanship. Rather, it's Paul's identification with his audience. You and I are His workmanship. We are created. We are saved. We are supernaturally made into a workmanship, a work of art, a masterpiece for God, so we can do good works. So God saves man for good works, not by good works. Big difference there. God fashions man and creates a masterpiece, a work of art. The believer does not create the beauty. The art shows in the canvas of his life. You are an artistic representation, following this idea of workmanship, of what it means to be saved by grace through faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the one who purchased your salvation. The believer just shows that he is God's workmanship by the life he lives and displays. Works, as I said earlier, are evidence of salvation. They do not produce salvation. They are not needed to earn salvation. That is heresy, and that is another gospel. Works are the evidence of salvation. And James picks up this theme in James 2 when he talks about you cannot be saved by faith alone. That is dead and does not produce the proof of salvation by the presence of good works. Read that chapter carefully, some of you out there who falsely think and teach that we are saved by faith plus works. Those who walk in trespasses and sins show they are not of God's workmanship, no matter what profession they make. God's people give ample evidence of the power of a new life, which operates in them. Now, Paul says we are not only God's workmanship, but we are created for good works. We are created for good works. This word create in the Greek is katizo, and it means to create, and it's used in the New Testament only of God's acts of creation in both the physical and spiritual realms. I could give you the scriptures for each of those categories, but Tom does not allow it. But here we have created for good works in Christ. You know that word created in the Greek is passive? Why are you getting into all the grammar? Because that's an very, very important tense used, because whenever you have the passive, it means that the person or the individual is the subject of an action. So here, the fact that believers are created, and that word created is passive. It's a passive participle. It indicates that the believer is the recipient of the divine action and may indicate attendant circumstance. But more likely, it denotes cause. Thus, the reason that God's workmanship is different from human works is because believers are a new creation in Christ Jesus. As Paul said, and as I quoted earlier in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Paul picks up this theme of being a new creation in Christ as a result of spiritual rebirth by faith in Jesus. He picks this theme up not only in 2 Corinthians 5:17, but Galatians 6:15. There, Paul states the important thing is not that one is a Jew, physically circumcised, or a Gentile, physically uncircumcised, but a new creation. Paul says in Galatians 6:15, that's all that matters, is being a new creation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Some will try to see a baptism motif here in the new creation, but that is foreign to the context. This is not a sacramental verse. The sphere or location of this new spiritual rebirth of creation is in what? In who, I should say. In whom? I'll get it grammatically correct. This location of the new spiritual rebirth creation is in Jesus Christ. And this was alluded to by Paul in verses 5 and 6 of Ephesians 2, where together with Christ, you and I are made alive, raised, seated in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. So then the reason you and I are God's workmanship is because we are a new creation in Christ Jesus. But what is the purpose of all this? Why are we spiritually born again, saved for good works? What's the purpose for that? What is the purpose of being God's workmanship by the supernatural hand of the Lord? It's for good works which God prepared beforehand. Amen? At great expense to Himself, God worked for us on the cross, and today on the basis of that price paid at Calvary, He is working in us to conform us to Christ. God cannot work in us unless He has worked for us and we have trusted His Son. Once we do that, then God sculpts us, molds us into His masterpiece, our workmanship of His saving grace, revealed and given through Jesus Christ to be received by the means of faith. And God molds us into His workmanship through, as Warren Wiersbe says concerning this passage, God molds us into His workmanship through the Word, prayer, and suffering, and I would add a fourth, the sanctifying influence and power of the Holy Spirit. What's sanctifying mean? It means that God sets the believer apart from the profane and unbelieving world to serve Him and be a witness to that unbelieving world through word and deed, that they stand up, take attention, and perhaps be saved through our good works done after salvation. You know, you see this principle throughout the Word of God. God working in an individual after they've come into a personal relationship with Him, so that they can be skillfully used by Him as His workmanship. Moses had to spend 40 humbling years in the desert, but through that, God worked in his life to make him a humble servant leader, totally reliant upon Yahweh God. Other examples are Joseph. For 13 years before God put him on the throne of Egypt, second to Pharaoh, he had to suffer many things. David was anointed king when he was a youth, but yet he did not gain the throne until he had suffered many years as an exile in danger of his life by the apostate King Saul. So we are the purpose for being God's workmanship is that we are created in Christ Jesus for or unto good works. Now note here what Paul is not saying. He's not saying in Ephesians 2:10, we are saved by good works. No, we are not saved by good works, because he said that in Ephesians 2:8 and 9. But rather, Paul is saying we are saved unto good works. There is where this confusion has come. And unfortunately, large swaths, I should say large denominational swaths in Christendom are teaching the grace-denying doctrine of salvation by works, or equally heretical and damnable, salvation by faith plus works, when biblical salvation is salvation in Jesus Christ alone, by faith alone, dispensed by God's grace alone. The famous reformer and theologian John Calvin wrote concerning this. He says, quote, "It is faith alone that justifies, but faith, it is faith alone that justifies, but faith that justifies can never be alone." So we are saved by faith alone, but a faith that does not remain alone. We are not saved by our good works, but we are saved by faith that works. The basic scripture on this theme, of course, as I told you earlier, is James chapter 2, where James points out that saving faith always results in a changed life seen by good works. James 2 is talking about justification before men demonstrated by good works that testify to a saving faith that's already present. Whereas Romans chapter 4 is talking about justification in the sight of God. So there's two different perspectives of justification going on. And once you understand that, Romans 4 and James 2 do not contradict once another. When you realize that Romans 4 is talking about saving faith that justifies in the eyes of God, and James 2 is talking about saving faith that is justified before men as seen by the believer's good works, which follow salvation. They are the byproduct and the proof that salvation has genuinely occurred in that person's life. You know, the Bible speaks of, when we're talking about workmanship and how we're created to do good works in Jesus Christ, not as a condition, not as a cause for salvation, but as the consequence of salvation. There are many works the Bible talks about, many different kinds of works. There are the works of the law, which cannot save, Galatians 2:16, 3:11. There are also the works of the flesh, which are listed in Galatians 5, 19 and 21. Paul spoke of works of darkness, Romans 13, 12, Ephesians 5, 11. The writer of Hebrews in Hebrews 6, 1 talks about dead religious works that sinners try to practice, as a means of obtaining salvation. And this is clearly nullified, that one cannot be saved by doing religious works or any kind of work. This is completely corroborated, and good works for salvation is nullified and refuted by what Isaiah 64:6 says of men's works done prior to salvation, or trying to earn salvation. That is, all our righteousness are as filthy rags. Isaiah 64:6. Paul is not talking about works done to earn or obtain or merit salvation, which can never happen. He says that in Ephesians 2:8 and 9. The good works he's talking about here in verse 10 are works, post-salvation works. Works done as a result of salvation. The works Paul wrote about in Ephesians 2:10 have two special characteristics. I want you to note this. First, they are good works in contrast to works of darkness and wicked works. If you contrast Ephesians 2:10 with Ephesians 2:2, you will see that the unbeliever has Satan working in him, and therefore his works are not good. But the believer after salvation has God through the Holy Spirit working in him, and therefore his works are good. And I like what Warren Wiersbe said on his insightful commentary on Ephesians 2:10. He says this: the believer's works are not good because he himself is good, but because the Holy Spirit works in him and through him to produce these good works. Paul explains the reason we are Christ's workmanship is so that we can display His magnificent grace by performing works. Paul, as you know, in verses 8 and 9 of Ephesians 2, repudiated the role of good works for earning salvation. But now he extols their role as a necessary outgrowth of salvation. So it matters where it matters the order in which good works are placed and sequenced in the order of salvation. They never come prior to salvation as if they produce it, they cause it, or they create it. Good works are the result, the consequence, the subsequent proof that true salvation has happened in the individual. And that's the exact order we see here in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Salvation first, and then verse 10, the result of that salvation is what? Good works, seeing that we are the workmanship of Jesus Christ. These works should be understood broadly and not in the more narrow sense of works of the law, like circumcision, Sabbath observance, maintaining Jewish purity regulations, observing kosher. No, the works Paul is commending here are those that would be equivalent to the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5. And they would include the tangible manifestation of Christian virtues such as love, patience, kindness, goodness, and self-control. Thus, for Paul, and really for the New Testament, good works are not the condition for salvation, but the consequence of being saved. That is what Paul is stating here. And that's the exact order we have here in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. First, salvation takes place, and good works follow as proof of that salvation. And I'll say it again. Thus, for Paul, good works are not the condition for salvation. That is a false gospel. But good works are the consequence of being saved. Paul commends the Thessalonians, remember, for these kinds of works when he thanks God for their work of faith and labor of love. Note here that the way Paul states this indicates faith produces works and love performs labor. 1 Thessalonians 1:3. You know, good works should not be minimized if properly placed in the Christian life. Yes, we are not saved by good works. And because of that, Christians can go to the other extreme and minimize the importance of good works properly placed in a saved Christian life. And so, because we hammer home the truth, we are not saved by good works, the biblical truth, that is. Be on guard lest you write off good works altogether. Jesus said in Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men. Why? So that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. We do not perform good works to bring glory and attention to ourselves, but to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father. 2 Corinthians 9:8 said, as saved believers, we are to what? Abound in every good work. One result of studying and knowing the Scriptures is so that we can be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The study of Scripture facilitates that. 2 Timothy 3:17. As believers, we are to be what? Zealous of good works. Titus 2:14. Our good works then are actually spiritual sacrifices that we offer to God. Hebrews 13:16. In talking about how good works will inevitably follow salvation, they will be the evidence of one truly saved, it's important to note with that we do not manufacture these good works by our own, by our own power. Being Christ's workmanship is saved, born again believers that results in good works demonstrate the good works are the results of the work of God in our hearts. It is God which works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure, Philippians 2:13 states. And what was the source of good works? The source is God's grace. The grace of God, 1 Corinthians 15:10. Our good works are evidence that you and I are born again. If you are truly saved, you will demonstrate that salvation that has already happened with good works and the fruit of the Spirit. And yet someone will say to me, what about the faith on the feet that want to defend easy believism, just mental assent say you believe? What, and then they will use the thief on the cross as an example. Well, first of all, the thief demonstrated faith in Jesus Christ, and he repented when he acknowledged that he was a sinner worthy of death. Those are the fruits of salvation working in the life of a true believer. So you can't use the thief on the cross as an excuse that there were not good works there. Yes, he demonstrated the fruits of salvation, repentant faith in Jesus Christ and trusting in Him to bring Him into the kingdom of God. Our good works can also serve as testimonies to the lost, 1 Peter 2:12. So, Paul then, of course, tells us that these good works were prepared beforehand. So then the goal of being created in Christ Jesus is for good works. God's workmanship is not achieved by good works, but it should result in good works as God purposed them. The word prepared beforehand is a simple and common word used in the New Testament. And it simply means to prepare beforehand. It is used in the New Testament only here. And in Romans 9:23, both of which have God as the subject. The believer was created in Christ Jesus as part of God's plan in eternity. And the believer was predestined not only to be saved, but to walk in the works that prove his salvation. Hence, God not only chose his own before the foundation of the world to be holy and without blame, but he also prepared beforehand good works for them. And you would ask, well, what good works did God prepare beforehand? Well, we find that in the immediate context of Ephesians later on, particularly in chapters 4 and 6. It is the good works or conduct given there in those two chapters that proceed from salvation. Not precede from salvation, P-R-E-C-E-D-E, but proceed, P-R-O-C-E-E-D, follow from salvation. As we know, the Bible teaches us, and Ephesians here particularly, that before coming to faith in Jesus Christ, human sinners, fallen human beings, exist in the sphere of bad works and were the objects of God's wrath under the dominion of Satan, the prince of the power of the air. But when they came to faith in Jesus Christ, they are not left in a vacuum of no activity. But they have in this new creation works already prepared by God in eternity past, predestined for good works. Not only did God predetermine eternal glory for the believers, as we read in Ephesians 1:5 in verse 11 and in Ephesians 2, 6 and 7. But God also prepared beforehand good works for the present life after salvation. And this, of course, is grace from beginning to end. And what are the purpose of these good works prepared in advance, Paul tells us? The purpose is that we walk in them. The purpose for being God's workmanship in Jesus Christ, demonstrated by our salvation, is so that we are created for good works, that we might, for the purpose of walking in them. That is how verse 10 of Ephesians 2 ends. It states the divine purpose for being God's workmanship, created for good works. And that purpose is to walk in those good works. Amen? We are God's workmanship because we were created in Christ Jesus for the goal of good works in order that we might walk in them. So those good works entail ministry, serving God by serving others, demonstrating the virtue, godly virtues that are produced by the Holy Spirit indwelling the born-again believer. These are all works that we are to walk in. Notice we are called to walk in these works. The word walk, of course, suggests that this is a conduct of living. It is a lifestyle. Remember in Ephesians 2:2, it describes the walk of the unbeliever in transgressions, dead in transgressions and sins. The walk used in Ephesians 2:10 denotes that these are post-salvation works that will later be explained and elaborated on in Ephesians chapter 4 through 6, because the dominant theme of those chapters, beloved, is the believer's walk. Paul mentions walk in Ephesians 4, 1 and verse 17, Ephesians 5, 2 and verse 8 and 15. Notice that we are to walk in them, walk in these works. We are to walk in them and not to work in them. We are to walk in these works, not to work in them. God has prepared beforehand good works for the believer that He will supernaturally perform in and through them as they walk by faith in His power. Which then leads us to the grand truth that it is not doing a work for God, but God doing a work in and through the believer. It is not us doing a work for God, but rather God doing a work in and through the believer. So even the good works, the post-salvation good works, proving salvation has occurred, cannot be cause for boasting, as in the case in our salvation, because both salvation and works are what? They're accomplished by God's grace by means of faith. If no good works are evident in the believer's life, God has prepared for every true believer to walk in, it could very well be because that believer is not a true believer. Because what God has purposed in the believer is not being accomplished. And that purpose is to produce works after salvation and walk in them. Again, works are not the means of salvation. Only faith is. But works, as Paul tells us here, they are an evidence of salvation. God's working in the believer, His prepared works. Verses 8 and 10 of Ephesians explain, define, depict the essence of the gospel. It's grace, God's grace from start to finish. In making the claim, when Paul makes the claim that God prepared these works beforehand for the saved, after salvation, Paul says that these works are not accidental, not fortuitous, but they were predetermined beforehand, predestined by God's sovereign choice to show His mercy on certain individuals and save them. I like what one commentator says about the ending of verse 10, at the ending of Ephesians 2:10, and how the believer is predestined to walk in works after salvation. He says, Paul's thought here in Ephesians corresponds to his statement on the purpose of election in 1:4, Ephesians 1:4, where he says that God chose us so that we would be holy and blameless. This is a process in which the Spirit of God assumes an important role. It is the Spirit of God who produces all godly attitudes and good works after salvation. But in doing that, He does not take control over man in such a fashion that men are manipulated like puppets on a string. But God does activate man and makes him a responsive partner of His covenant. So you and I have been created, recreated in Christ Jesus through salvation, spiritual rebirth, to demonstrate God's masterpiece of grace in our lives. We are trophies, we are workmanships of the saving power of God revealed through Jesus Christ, received by faith, that will then demonstrate that power of salvation through Holy Spirit-generated good works that happen in the believer. And those works are to be a way of daily living, conduct, and habit. A walk, as Paul describes here. Amen. You and I are His workmanship. We demonstrate the beauty of God's amazing grace. It means that God has a plan for our lives and that we should walk in Him, in His will, and fulfill His plan. And that is achieved through good works from the power of the Spirit and a saved life. And Paul talks about that we are, that it has been prepared beforehand that we walk in these post-salvation good works. He is not talking about a blind, impersonal fate that controls your life no matter what you may do. Paul is talking about the gracious plan of a loving Heavenly Father who wills the very best for us. And so, you and I should yield to the Holy Spirit so that He can continue to produce the post-salvation good works by which God produces by the power of His Spirit and His unmerited grace in a changed life that has been saved. Ephesians 2:1-10 demonstrates that though people in their unsaved state were spiritually dead in trespasses and sins under the dictatorial rule of Satan, the prince of the power of the air, in spite of that horrific reality, God, in His marvelous, undeserved grace, provided salvation through faith by making us alive, raising us, and seating us in the heavenly places with Christ Jesus. To demonstrate the origin of salvation is God and God alone. And the basis of this salvation is His grace. And the means by which we receive this free gift of salvation, given by the unmerited grace of God, is faith and nothing else. Faith in Jesus Christ. Our salvation is not only a one-time transformation, conversion, and spiritual rebirth, but it also includes the activity of God's workmanship in whom and through whom He performs the good works He has already prepared in advance. The workmanship is done through Jesus Christ by the hand of God the Father. Amen. So if you are truly saved, you will demonstrate that salvation with good works that point people to the God of the Bible, that glorify Jesus Christ, and that demonstrate godly Christian character. Beware of the vain, empty professors who claim they are believers and are saved, and yet they do not demonstrate the proof of that salvation by good works, as James 2 says. When you are truly saved, you will produce good works by the power of God's Spirit, activated by His grace that saved you. Just as when you plant an apple seed and it grows, guess what? It will invariably produce apples as a result of its nature. It cannot do otherwise. When you plant an apple tree, oranges don't come out from that tree. When you plant an apple tree, cherries don't come out of that tree. Apples come out of or from an apple seed producing an apple tree. And so it is with true born-again salvation. If you're truly saved, you will produce the fruits of salvation, good works, and the fruit of the Spirit. It's as simple as that. And sadly, people confuse good works and try to make good works the sole basis for salvation, which is unbiblical and goes contrary to what the Bible teaches about salvation. Others, more so in the church than the first erroneous option, will tell you, well, you're saved by faith plus good works. So it's a partnership. You cooperate with God, and if you follow that accordingly, then God will save you by your faith. But you have to add your works concomitant to that faith. That is not biblical salvation either. Biblical salvation is this: you are saved by trust and faith alone in Jesus Christ, extended to you by God's unmerited favor or grace. And once you receive that salvation by faith, trust, and reliance alone in Jesus Christ, the fruit of that faith will invariably issue in good works. The very good works Paul is explaining to us here in Ephesians 2:10. Works that come from the source of you having been saved, being God's work of art, His masterpiece, His workmanship. All those words mean the same here in Ephesians 2:10. So again, we must notice here the correct biblical order and important place good works have in the life of the believer. Good works will always follow salvation. We are not saved by good works, but we are saved for good works. Big difference. And if you confuse the two, guess what happens? The gospel gets lost and it becomes obfuscated and effaced. And if you have the wrong gospel by saying we're saved by works alone or by faith plus works, that results in damnation. Many people are believing those two false gospels. All the world religions teach salvation by your good works. And such a salvation system cannot save you. It will only damn you in the end. Others, particularly within the Christian church, teach or have taught, well, you're saved by works plus faith. That is equally damnable as the first one that says you're saved by works alone. No, biblical salvation is that you are saved by faith alone in Jesus Christ alone, by God's grace alone, apart from human work or effort. Even the faith, the enablement to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, is also a gift given by God on the basis of His undeserved grace, extended to the sinner who deserves nothing less than God's judgment. That, my friend, is the template of the biblical gospel. Amen. And we see it explained, extrapolated, and lucidly defined from Ephesians 2, starting in verse 8, all the way ending in verse 10. First, you are saved by faith in Jesus Christ alone, by God's grace alone, apart from human works. And once you accept that real, biblical, and true salvation, that salvation that you received, whereby you are saved by the power of Jesus Christ, that then will prove or issue in the results of good works. Amen. Well, until next time, shalom, Yeshua HaMashiach Alechem. May the peace of Jesus, the Messiah, be with you.